Hi, I'm Sarah Crimans, Extension Educator with University of Minnesota Extension and Project Lead for the Military Families Learning Network, MFLN, Family Transitions Team. We provide education, resources, and networking opportunities for military family service professionals as they help military families build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions. We invite you to engage with us and your colleagues in conversations on military life cycle issues. Today, I'm joined by Ellie McCann. She's an Extension Educator here at the University of Minnesota Extension and a member of our Military Family Transitions team. Over the years, Ellie has worked with a group of professionals in the Fargo, North Dakota and Moorhead, Minnesota area to promote resilience during disaster recovery as that beautiful Red River, which borders North Dakota and Minnesota, frequently floods. Their group, Red River Resilience, promotes resilience in their communities. Welcome, Ellie.
Hello, and thanks, Sarah. Our Red River Resilience team is passionate about this topic because it's really a positive way to make a difference in how we cope with adversity, whether it be spring floods or H1N1 flu or the challenges and transitions that military families encounter. We believe resilience is a skill that's really necessary to life or those ordinary pressures that we all face.
Several years ago, Ellie, you and I recognized that the Red River Resiliency's information, which originally started with using it during times of disaster, was also very relevant for military families who navigate so many different life cycle transitions. A few years ago, we had an opportunity to share this resiliency framework with military families at several military family camps. Ellie, can you give us an overview on what we're going to focus on with this podcast?
In this podcast, we are going to define what resilience is and identify simple strategies on how individuals and families can become more resilient. We will focus on five indicators, or the acronym FACTS, about resilience, which are the skills or the tools that a person can use to become more resilient.
Excellent. So how do you actually define resilience?
Resilience is really that ability to bounce back from crisis or adversity and to adapt well to changes in your life. Everyone has a capacity for resilience, and individuals can learn to develop their resilience skills at any age. These skills involve ways of thinking and behaving that result in successful coping and adaptation to any challenging kinds of situations that arise.
So resilience is really about how one responds to the challenges they face in life. You know, we often talk about resilience as bouncing back, but a few years ago, you and I had an opportunity to go to an international conference on disaster recovery, and at that conference, they were talking about bouncing forward to a new normal rather than bouncing back.
Right.
Because life is ever-changing. That was really an interesting perspective for me. Can you describe to us the Red River Resilience Team's framework?
Most definitely. Red River Resilience has identified five key concepts, or we can call them indicators of resilience, and they frame them using the acronym FACTS, F-A-C-T-S. In the FACTS acronym, F is for foster hope, A is act with purpose, C is connect with others, T is to take care of yourself, and S is search for meaning.
Excellent. We're going to take a deeper dive on each of these five components of resilience. And as Ellie shared, the first component is the F, foster hope. So what does it mean to foster hope, Ellie?
Really involves focusing on the positive. When a person has a positive and optimistic outlook, they will feel energized and be able to face difficult situations much more directly. They can imagine then where they want to be and how things might be better in the future. It's important to recognize that even in difficult times, there are some positive aspects to life. That can be difficult, but it's really important.
For military families, focusing on the positive might involve focusing on the quality of life between deployments or training times, or focusing on the adventures of exploring new communities when there might be frequent moves. Fostering hope also involves having confidence in oneself. What does that involve?
Individuals can really increase confidence in their ability to cope with challenging situations. Some of this can be done by remembering how they've successfully overcome difficulties in the past, intentionally trying to foster that survivor mentality is really a key. Recognizing that one has the ability to learn and use resilient skills to deal more effectively with those stressful circumstances can really help build a person's confidence.
Each time a military family moves to a new location or begins a deployment or welcomes their service member home, they are better able to navigate these transitions because hopefully they're learning from and building upon those previous experiences. Military families who figure out the military culture, how to maneuver through the military systems, and if they're figuring out where to access those resources and if they're able to build supportive networks, these things really help increase that self-reliance and help them navigate each transition more successfully than the last. One additional way to foster hope is to put things in perspective. What does that mean?
Putting things in perspective really requires us to try to put current problems into context and to maintain a long-term perspective. We know that change is a natural part of life. My third daughter gets married next weekend. Boy, I'm going through a lot of change.
No doubt, yeah.
But people, including military service members and families, may not be able to prevent challenges or bad things from happening, but they can turn their energies towards coping effectively and being a source of support for others.
Military families can really work to put their current problems or challenges into context and really maintain that long-term perspective. And being able to notice small improvements in oneself and their situation over time can be really helpful. F, foster hope. Now let's take a look at the A in the FACTS Resilience acronym. The A stands for Act with Purpose. Ellie, what are some of the strategies that families can use to act with purpose?
Making a plan is the first one, Sarah, and it's really the first step with acting with purpose for military families, who then can really begin to clearly identify the problem or the challenge and follow up with that by brainstorming some solutions. It involves evaluating and choosing the best options and then creating an action plan based on those. It's important to realize that changing circumstances may require individuals or families to abandon their old goals and adopt new ones or use different strategies to reach their goals.
I can really relate to this one. Our children were young and my husband was deployed, we were constantly making plans. We had plans for each day, for the weekend, for special events and holidays. My kids would wake up in the morning and say, "What's the plan, Mom?" And so by having plans, we really knew and they knew what to expect, and we were better able to manage those transitions, and hopefully we avoided a lot of frustrations along the way.
Right.
What's another strategy to help families act with purpose?
Intentionally moving toward goals can help us also to act with purpose. So once a plan is identified, as you talked about, it's really essential to take those decisive steps to solve the problem and to reach the goals that you've set. Rather than being overwhelmed by the magnitude of the situation, it's important to try to focus on small, achievable steps they can take to really move in the right direction. Like you said, it might be that day-to-day plan. Taking time to reflect on progress and celebrate those accomplishments along the way really helps us to act with purpose.
Oh, for sure. And I'm guessing that sometimes progress can be slow when moving towards those goals. It might feel like one step forward and two steps back. But if military families keep their eye on their goal and methodically move in that direction, they should be seeing some progress.
Right.
So what is the last strategy for acting with purpose?
Engage in active coping is the last strategy in this section. It's normal for people to experience some really strong emotions during time of crisis, and people can adopt an active coping strategy by talking to someone that they trust. Oftentimes I call my dad, he's kind of my go-to guy, or writing their thoughts and feelings in a journal. By avoiding a problem and just wishing it's going to go away or relying on some unhealthy forms of coping, which might include alcohol use, these are really not effective methods for adapting well to those stressful situations.
It is really true that a crisis or some transitions can bring out strong emotions. And if folks have a strong network or community, that can really help military families engage in active coping. So as you indicated, Ellie, by having go-to people identified, knowing who those folks are before a crisis occurs can be extremely helpful when the crisis does occur. That person might be family, it might be friends, it might be another military spouse or even a spiritual leader. And for kids, it would be a lot of those same folks. It could be friends, family members, or maybe a teacher or a counselor at school. A, act with purpose. Let's transition now to the C in our FACTS acronym, and that stands for Connect with Others. What strategies can help with this component?
Maintaining relationships is the first that's really key. When individuals really encounter problems, it's easy to withdraw from other people. Disaster or a major transition, during those times we might forget to change oil in our car or change our furnace filter, which, goodness, I've done that this winter.
Oh, for sure.
We also might neglect our relationships, or during bad and good times, we really need other people, family and friends and groups with a common purpose and those common goals.
So that is so true. And I think the military really knows that relationships help families cope and help them navigate those transitions. So military families who live on or near an installation are encouraged to connect with those other military families. And by joining in the activities offered and taking advantage of the services provided really helps facilitate or build those relationships. Reserve and guard families and those active duty folks who don't live near an installation, those who are geographically dispersed, they really need to be more intentional about connecting with other military families. And hopefully they have a community of friends and family near them. What's another strategy for connecting with others?
This next one can be kind of more difficult for people, but it's so important. It's really giving and receiving help. When help, which can then help us to connect with others. People really come together in times of crisis. I know during the Fargo-Moorhead floods, to watch our community come together like that was amazing. We encourage people to accept the help that is offered to them. It's also great if they can help others and serve in their community. In our area, people often are willing to help others, but say, I'm fine, when help is offered to them. It's so important to do both, to both give help and receive help.
I think this strategy is really interesting. There are great benefits to helping others. Military families are encouraged to seek out ways they can contribute to their community and help others. What's the last strategy that you have to offer, Ellie, on for people who want or need to connect with others?
Spend time with others. This may seem obvious, but it's important to take intentional time for those social activities with both friends and family. People can come together with others who share their same interests and beliefs by either in a faith kind of activity or a civic group. Working together on the common crisis or transition can be really important, but spending more free time and more social time with other people really helps to give our lives balance.
Military families are encouraged to take time for those social activities with friends and family, as you indicate, Ellie. And this might be just a simple cup of coffee or a walk around the block or a Saturday morning play date for the kids. It just means getting out and spending time with others. C, connect with others. Now it's time to talk about the T in our FACTS acronym. The T stands for take care of yourself. What are some strategies for this?
The first is take care of your body. Healthy practices help keep our body functioning really well in order to meet any of these difficult challenges. This involves eating nutritious foods, getting adequate sleep, and staying physically active. These healthy habits, in addition to good hygiene, will help protect you from a huge variety of illnesses. We all know about the flu. And when we fail to take care of our body, our mind and our spirit can suffer as well.
When this strategy sounds so simple, but that isn't always the case. Military family members may benefit from seeking out an exercise or a nutrition buddy, a setting bedtime routines for both children and adults, which allows adequate sleep, is also a great idea.
It is.
No doubt, right? What's the next strategy, Ellie, in this category?
Take time to relax. So think about what helps you relax. For some people, it's reading a book or maybe taking a brisk walk. Other people have hobbies or sports that they're passionate about. During troubling times, it can be really tempting to ignore those relaxing activities that we love.
Definitely, I can relate to this, and I think sometimes we may feel guilty if we take time for ourselves to relax, and it's really important for military families to give themselves permission to take care of themselves. You know, relaxing activities not only provide a restful break, but it also helps us enjoy life a little bit. What's the last strategy for taking care of oneself?
Nurture your spirituality. So think about what is important to you and what you want to do really to make a difference in this world. Engage in activities that bring clarity of purpose and a sense of connection. It might be meditation, religion, and what that means to you, or spending time in nature.
Definitely. Spirituality can look different for each person. And
right.
We've seen a lot of research around the value of spending time in nature. Definitely. Spirituality and meditation can really look different for each person. T, take care of yourself. Now, let's take a look at the S. So our last letter in our FACTS acronym, it stands for search for meaning. Ellie, what are some of the strategies that can be used to achieve this?
The first is find positive meaning. Disasters, tragic events, and military kinds of transitions, or other common human problems can really cause frustration and a lot of stress. But alongside of any of these troubles, are parts of life, and it's full of meaning. They may get kind of obscured by the present situation. We must be intentional about seeking and seeing the goodness of life.
This definitely can be a challenge. It requires us to really look at the bigger picture of life.
It does.
Military families may find positive meaning in serving their country or just in spending valuable time with families. What's another strategy to help us search for meaning?
Learn about oneself can help us to really search for meaning in our life. We encourage others to consider how they were impacted by the stressful experience and what they did to deal with it. Paying attention to what worked well and what you could do to improve can really help you learn about yourself. Problems will likely then reveal some of the strengths and identify areas that you may need to work on in the future.
When, since military families may encounter some transitions multiple times, maybe multiple deployments, multiple reintegration, multiple moves, it's really great to take time and reflect on those transitions and those challenges and figure out what worked well and what didn't work so well, which we sometimes focus on, but to look at both the positive and the things we can improve upon so that they can better navigate the same transitions more successfully in the future. Ellie, what's the final strategy for searching for meaning?
You know, it's interesting because the example you gave earlier, Sarah, about setting goals with your family, I'm sure that looking back now caused you to have some reflection on that and also then helped you to do our next strategy, which is look for personal growth. So how did setting those goals help you and your family? Well, individuals who may experience positive changes as a result of their struggle against adversity. So you've reflected and you've been able to look at some of those positive changes. So with this, you can also look for changes such as renewed appreciation for life, closer relationships. I heard you kind of giggling, thinking back to that with your kids, deeper spirituality, and a greater perception of inner strength. I also heard that in your tone is that, wow, look at how we dealt with that. It's great to be thankful for these changes, which may provide guidance in the future.
Well, definitely, you know, I agree. You know, the struggles with transitions or adversity often give us positive growth, and I think military families would typically agree with that.
Absolutely.
F, search for meaning.
Thank you for listening to our conversation about resilience. We have looked at the five key components or indicators of resilience using the acronym FACTS. F is foster hope, A, act with purpose, C, connect with others, T, take care of yourself, and S, search for meaning.
Great, thanks, Sally. We encourage everyone to check out our infographic on the FACTS of resilience. It is available on our MFLN Family Transitions podcast webpage. The easiest way to find it is just to Google for MFLN Family Transitions and then navigate to our podcast. But it's also available at https://militaryfamilies.extension.org/family-transitions/podcast. You can also learn more about the Military Families Learning Network, Family Transitions, and other resources available, including free professional development webinars on our MFLN Family Transitions page. Again, the easiest way to find it is to simply Google MFLN Family Transitions, or you can go to https://militaryfamilies.extension.org/family-transitions. We hope you will join us again. Have a great day.
This material is based on work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense Award Number 2015-48770-24368.